Yesterday you're here and you don't know the Lord. Maybe you know about the Lord, but you don't know him personally. I want to invite you to him, even now. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verses 14 through 17. A Mother's Day sermon. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. O Lord, thank you for the morning. And we certainly want to honor mothers today. It is a command in your word, and we do it because we love them. And we who have mothers that are already departed, and now in your presence, Lord, we rejoice about their time there and their eternity with you. But we also, Lord, our hearts miss them terribly. And for those who have mothers here, still living, Lord, I pray that today would be a wonderful day, and that we would just show them a great love. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Save those who may be here without Christ. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, help us to be in a state of humility this morning, asking you to speak to our hearts. As we learned in the Sunday school hour this morning from the book of James, in other places, that we need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Help us, O Lord, this morning to, if we have sin in our lives, things that have distracted us, O Lord, help us to confess, repent, that we might be receptive to the things of God. Thank you again for thy goodness. Speak to us, O Lord. Holy Spirit, be our helper in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today is Mother's Day. It's a wonderful time of the year as we think about this wonderful subject of Mother's Day, a day that has been set aside to honor mothers. And we certainly should, as I mentioned earlier, because none of us would be here without them. They are God's great blessing to our world, I do believe. Our text brings before us the benefits and the blessings of a home life where two godly women, one a mother, the other a grandmother. Mother's name was Eunice, grandmother Lois, and Timothy. This was Timothy's mother and grandmother, who took the initiative to make the Word of God a priority in his life, even though Timothy's father was an unsaved man. You know, occasionally I hear women who have an unsaved spouse or husband, say, well, you know, you don't know what it's like living with a lost person. Well, I'm sure of this. As a pastor, as your pastor, if I am your pastor, I will assure you this. I don't know everything. I really don't. But I do know this, that the Lord knows. And there's comfort in that. The Lord knows. Timothy's father, though, was an unsaved man. And I think that these mothers, I'm going to call them mothers, have much to teach us about the influence of a mother. And setting the pace for the home and the heart of children and securing future generations for the kingdom of God. You know, my kids are all grown now. You know, none of them are perfect, other than in Christ, where all of us are perfect in that sense. That is our position in Christ. But I want my family, and I want my children especially, to promote the kingdom of God and live for Jesus. And you should desire the same for your children. Paul honored these mothers and said in the first chapter, he said, of this same book, 2 Timothy 1, in that first chapter, he said, I thank God. And then he went on to say in a couple verses later, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also Timothy would be called of God to be the pastor of one of the Lord's churches in the city of Ephesus. I've been there, not when it was in its prime, I suppose, but nonetheless, it was a large city, a seaport city, and it was a wicked city that needed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is true that in seaport cities, many goods were brought into from one place or the other into these cities. But also another thing that was brought in was their wickedness from these other places. And so Ephesus certainly wasn't a place that you would just want to say, this would be a great place to raise a child. In fact, it was a very pagan place. It was there where the Temple of Diana was, and their worship of idolatry permeated the city of Ephesus. But God was going to use this young man. But I want to think back to maybe the early days of this young man while he was still in the home. Who would have thought that God was going to call him to preach? Who would have thought that God was going to use him to permeate that place with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I certainly don't think his mother or his grandmother might have known that. But you know, as a mother and a grandmother, you ought to always want to be thinking that way about your own grandkids and about your own children, what God might do with them.
Amen.
And so, our world too offers so many challenges for the home and for the hearts of our children. In fact, the home as we know it biblically is becoming a thing of the past. And so if your family's still intact, you should thank God for it. We're living in a society that is indifferent to God, intolerant to Christianity, and I will tell you this, indignant and injurious to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This world system thinks that it would be a better place if Christians were gone and the gospel was gone, the church was gone. And living in this kind of world, though, and raising children for God, I think requires moms and dads to be committed and spiritually sensitive to making the Word of God a priority in the home life of our children. This would be the very thing that would serve for Timothy's success in the ministry when God did call him. Let's get into the text now quickly, because I know time is fleeting. And I want to pray that God would use this time and the message to deal with our hearts. There are young women sitting in here this morning that are potential mothers. One day they will be married, and one day they'll have their own children. You mothers that are already there should be setting the pace for them, showing them how to live a godly life, showing them what it is to be a mother. And I think that we can see it in the text. Consider these honorable mothers. That is, I'm going to say this mother and grandmother. Notice, first of all, the prophet of a consistent witness. The prophet of a consistent witness. In verse 14 he said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." Now what this tells me is that Timothy was in the home being taught by his mother and his grandmother these things of God. He said, "But continue thou in the things that which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice understood the importance of a consistent witness of the Word of God in the life of young Timothy. Consider what was at stake. I think the first thing that was at stake was time. Time is always at stake in the lives of our kids. Some of you who hold those little babies in your hands right now, those that you have some of you sent to the nursery, those little babies that are even speaking out, as I'm speaking out this morning, which is fine because I don't pay attention to that. In fact, it's music to my ears, unless they can get louder than I can. But time was at stake. It's about continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Timothy's world much like ours, offered many things to consume his time. Ministry itself would require much of his time. Paul understood the importance of time when it came to the study of the Word of God and the value, and also the value to model a consistent witness if Timothy were to be successful in ministry. Notice the word continue here. That word continue means to endure, to abide, to remain steadfast. One of the things I want to share with you quickly here is that Timothy's dad was a Greek, the Bible tells us, in Timothy. And that simply meant that the distinction there is made to say that his dad was not a Christian. He was not a saved man. In fact, no doubt he was steeped in Greek mythology, but that never slowed these women down, his mother and his grandmother, with the things of God. Nor did they let time be wasted on the path to such wickedness. No, they redeemed the time for young Timothy with a consistent witness of the Word of God. And one of the things I've come to realize, I'm 62 now. I know I don't look that. I know I'm looking like 52, maybe 42. But nonetheless, time does slow down for none of us. Time is moving on, even while we sit here. Time is a precious commodity that cannot be bought back once it is spent. This is why the Bible tells us that we should redeem the time, for the days are evil. I realize that most of you that have little ones cannot even begin to comprehend your child grown and gone. Look at that little girl Dad's holding right there. Can you imagine her already walking down an aisle, getting her diploma, and then maybe one day walking down an aisle and having met her soulmate and entering into the bonds of holy wedlock before Almighty God? You say, stop the madness. I don't even want to talk about that. Well, you might stop the madness, but you won't stop the time. It's going to happen. What? Who was telling me this morning? Oh, Sean, how old do you say you are now?
30.
Can you believe that? First time I saw that guy, he was in a dirty diaper. Yeah, look at him now. Look how he's got a full beard. He got that at age 6 months. He's had it ever since he was just a little fellow. But he's growing. He's a grown man now. 30 years old. And I told another brother, I said, you know, how old that makes us? Yeah, it's fine. Time slows down for no one. My oldest son is, he'll be 41. I can't believe that. I think 41. Could be 41 years old. Me? I mean, I don't look that old, do I? Don't answer that. 41. My oldest son. But it's going to happen before we realize it. Here's what I say to you mothers today. Make time each day to be consistent in your witness of the Word of God. If we are to reach our world, and especially our own nation, I don't know if you think this way. I think about this nation. I love this nation. I don't love some of the things that are going on and have happened in the past, but I love this republic. And I love to be in America today. And I'm thanking God for the things that I am witnessing. We're living in one of the most exciting times. So when I don't say throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm praying for our president, praying for our vice president, praying for those under his leadership. Do you realize some of the... We are living in historical moments. And it's going to impact our lives, our children, and the coming generations. But we must be consistent in our witness of the Word of God. Something else that's... And I will tell you this before I move on. I will tell you this. There's something else at stake. What else was at stake? Truth was at stake. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. As I've already mentioned, Timothy's dad was a Greek, meaning that he was an unbeliever. And as a Greek, his life was clearly marked by a belief system that embraced a faulty worldview. Paul was reminding Timothy, though, of what he had got from his mother and what he'd been taught by his grandmother, and wanted him to know that he was thankful to God for that. Truth would be the bedrock for a dynamic, fruitful ministry. And let me say this as plain as I can. Nothing is more important, Mom and Dad, but especially to you mothers, because I think you have a great influence on your children. Nothing is more important in the life of your child than truth. Not finances. That's a Western mind thought. Not finances, not career, not academia, not position in life. No, 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 my friend. There's nothing more important than truth. John said, the apostle in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Why? Because truth transforms lives.
Amen.
And where there is no truth, there is confusion and conflict. So, consider then these honorable mothers. Secondly, the power of a converting word. In verses 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. What I think about that, in regards to this power of a converting word, is the reach of the word of God. The reach. Timothy had been taught by the holy scriptures all his early years. His mother and his grandmother were planting the seed of the word that had been the joy of these two ladies in the life of this young boy, putting the word of God. Yesterday, by the way, if you didn't see this, I'm not sure. I think it's on the, let's see, Amazon. I'm not sure, but they're offering. Do a little infomercial here. Two hardback books. One on the Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, a reprint, and one that has all the illustrated pictures and so forth, second hardback, and then a third book, which is a paperback, which is another source for that book, which basically has illustrations and all those sorts of things. And all of that, it's like an $80 value for 30 bucks. You know what? People won't spend $30 on two hardback books or a third book like that. They think, well, that's too much money. But it's nothing to go out and waste money on some silly game that'll never make a difference in the lives of your children. I'm just telling you that we need to invest in our kids. I think that's what I think if Lois and Eunice had access to that, they said, we're buying that for Timothy. We're getting it now. What a deal. Amen?
Yeah,
well, I don't know if you think that way or not. But I do. I say, we should see the power of a converting word, planting those seeds. How do you plant those seeds? You plant them just like that. He said, from a child, which literally means, comes from the Greek word that means embryo, like a newborn babe. When those babes come out, I think that one of my friends, pastor friends, he didn't wait till the baby came out of the womb. As soon as they found out their baby was coming, every night they would pray together, he and his wife, and he would lay his head on his wife's stomach, and where the little baby was, and he would pray and he would talk to that baby, and then he would start singing, and he would music that he considered to be something that would be a blessing to his son. He'd start playing that music before they would go to bed, and let the baby hear it, I guess, and the baby would just move around. It was just a wonderful time. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I will tell you this. They spent many, many hours investing in their child, even before it was born. Now, let me tell you, you know what their boy is doing today? He is a pastor of a Baptist church and leading many, many people to the Lord. And in fact, he just came back from a great mission trip with his dad. What a wonderful experience. You know what? I'm not saying that that's for every person. Don't go out and buy a stereo to hook on your wife's belly. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, spend some time. Realize this, that at the moment of conception, that is a child.
Amen.
God has his hand on it. And all I say is that we can begin working right there. We don't have to wait. Timothy had been taught the word of God from a child, from a newborn babe. Timothy had received a steady diet of the word since birth, I think, from his mother and grandmother. In fact, It had the ideas here, the ideas that are the ABCs of life in the spiritual world. They planted powerfully the Word of God. So there's the reach, but then the resolve. What is the resolve? Verse 15, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. This must be, I think, every mother's resolve. Your child cannot know the power of the converting word until you know it. Until it's working in your own life. Our children are born into the world, as we all are, depraved creatures in need of redemption. But don't settle for that. Say, my son or my daughter is not saved. Oh, that's just the way it is. No, it's not the way it is. That's the way it is, but it doesn't have to be that way. I'm saying plant the good things of God in their heart as God plants them in your heart. They can be converted. But it's going to take the power of God's word. You can't make them be righteous. You can't save them. But God can. God's word is powerful. And I know that to be true. I would also say those of you, especially you young Christians in here today who claim the name of Christ, you have no regard to obey the truth. You seemingly have no capacity at times. In other words, you know what God says, but you don't do it. That's not good. You're setting a pace, but you're setting the wrong pace. Those of you who are members of this church, young and old alike, I want you to know something. God wants you to be fruitful. God wants you to live a life of faith. He wants you to know what it is to open the blessed word of God and for God to speak to you and God to change you and God to work in you. One day God may give you a child. I don't know. But I know when God does, we should not take it for granted.
Right.
The reach, the resolve, and then the results. But what is the results? And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. I love it when I'm talking to a parent and they say, you know what, we've been having devotions and one of my kids are asking a lot of questions. Their hearts are seemingly getting tender. That's because of the Word of God. God's Word is powerful.
Amen.
And so the results of putting this in your kids' hearts, it is powerful. Converting to the soul, if you will. It is a fact that no one can be saved apart from the Word of God. And if we know that, then shouldn't we be putting the Word of God in their hearts? Yeah. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Every mother here today that knows the Lord needs to realize the power that you can wield as you plant God's good Word in the heart of your child. Who knows? There may be another preacher here. You know, I read recently of some preachers, the great preachers of the past. Oh, they had such a shaky beginning. It seemed like they were going down the wrong road. There was a praying mother. There was a praying grandmother. There was a grandfather and a father who kept pointing them back to the cross. God did great things in their lives. So I say, you wield power, mothers. Who knows? There may not be another preacher sitting here, a missionary sitting here, who would take the gospel to a dark and distant land, or just around the corner, to a family that's already in darkness. You know, Brother Johnson is. The Lord. I think the Lord brought him here. I don't want to try to figure out all the circumstances, but the Lord brought him here. He's out today at his very first church. Looking for support. The Lord brought him here. He's intelligent about some things. He's got some growing to do. I think that God's going to use his time in deputation. I think he always does. This is where God begins knocking off the rough edges and honing the person and getting that person. But to realize that already the good word of God has been put in his heart. And he told me yesterday, he said, I'm so excited just to see what God is already doing. Got his prayer cards, and we'll have those on the table back there. Please pick up one and pray for the Johnsons. They're hoping to be on the field by next December, not this December, but next December. But you know what? I said, maybe set that as a goal, but pray this way. We hope to be there next December. But if God were to open the door within the next few months, we would go. That's exactly what Brother Paul Brown did when he left. He started off on a deputation, and he said to see that it was going to take so much time, so he just took a step of faith and instead of going and going and going, just went there. And God has done some miraculous things there. I saw a picture just the other night. All the kids are back. Oh, boy. I saw Sister Kimmy on there. Oh, can't wait to get back. Well, you're right. Wait to get back. Don't get in a hurry. Let us at least look at you for a couple days. And we know you want to be there. But who would have thought God would have taken that old Indiana girl there, clean across the other side of the world? And when I say clean across the other side of the world, I mean it. It's on the other side of the world. Who would have thought that? But they love her over there. They do. And I just pray she doesn't get ran over by a car. She has too much boldness about her, about some things. Now I hear they possibly bought her a motor scooter. Oh, boy. Thailand, watch out. So, the prophet of a consistent witness, the power of a converting word, and then thirdly and finally, the promise of a competent work. The Bible said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means mature, grown, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible is God's promise book. Amen. To both sinners and saints. There's promises in here to sinners. If you die without Christ, you're going to spend an eternity in hell. But if you're saved by God's grace, we have an eternity waiting on us with the one who died for us. In our Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to take my kids with me. Amen. I don't want to leave them here in this world. Amen. So I say there's a promise of a competent work here. It is God's promises. Therefore, it's important for every mother to plant this book deep in the heart of the child. The Bible, first of all, is God's promise of inspiration. We just read that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, Timothy had the God-breathed book in his heart. So do we. The Bible is not just a book. It is a divine library written by God himself. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." This isn't just a book. It is a living book. And you say, how do you know it's living? Because it transforms lives. Yeah. Transform mine. Yeah. I know I don't deserve to be saved. I don't know how God did it. It's miraculous. But God saved me. Changed me. Turned my world upside down. Whatever you want to call it. And I mean saved by God's grace. But I'm going to tell you something about truth. Truth belongs to God. Truth. Didn't we see that the other night? Those of us who saw that film? Truth belongs to God. Promises are only validated if the person promising has wherewithal to keep the promises. When God makes a promise, you can bank on it, as we say sometimes. It's true. God said it, and that settles it. That works not only in salvation, but also in our service for the Lord and our sacrifice to God. What I want to say to all of you again, especially you younger Christians in here, trust the Lord. Be willing to put it all on the line for God. And I don't think we do that in America. We hold out on God. We only give God what we think we ought to give Him. No, sell out. I mean, just sell out. You know, right after that revival meeting that we have with Brother Johnson and I have been talking all along, and one of the messages, he gave the illustration of burning the ships. You remember that? He said, burn the boat. He called me up right after that night. He said, that's it, I'm burning the boat, brother. I said, "You're doing what?" He said, "I'm burning the ship." Now you might think you might say, "No, he's crazy. He's got five kids." Well, let me tell you something, my friend. We're never crazy when we do something for God. I don't care how silly that someone might think you are. I'm saying to you that if God is calling, then sell out. It wouldn't hurt my feelings if everybody in this church came forward today and said, "We're selling out. We won't even be here anymore." I said, "Well, I won't either. Let's all go." So wouldn't it be something if our whole church loaded up, went to somewhere like Thailand? Oh, boy. I don't think Brown's house is big enough for anything like that. But you know, Thailand isn't big enough for it. Amen? Amen? The world is big enough for it. So when God makes a promise, you can bank on it. So trust the Lord. The Bible is not only God's promise of inspiration, but information. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Here is the reason that Paul thanks God for Timothy's dear mother and grandmother Lois for passing the torch that has the profit of information. Here's the great benefit of Scripture to for all humanity. It is profitable for doctrine. This refers to the doctrines of the Bible. What does that mean? What means this? If you want to know God, then you got to know the Bible. If you want your kids to know God, then you're going to have to put the Word of God in their hearts. That's the only way we know about God. And anything else in life. You want to know God, then you have to get it to the Lord, to our children. We have to get it to our children. Put it in their hearts. You want to know the whys of life, then get the truth on it. You got to go to the Bible. Why? Because the Bible is the only source that speaks to every, speaks truth, I should say, to every subject. And then I will tell you this, my friend. Not only is it inspired and gives us information, but the Bible is God's perfecting instrument. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is God's perfecting installation. Have you ever watched one of those TV shows where someone buys a condemned house and they do a complete makeover? And then install all the appliances right down to the landscaping in the front yard. And then they bring someone there and they say, "No, let's move that. That's a different one." But anyway, they bring them there and the people are just dazzled. They're like, "What? That's that house." Well, that's exactly what God's competent work is all about. You see, this is a matter of the Christian experience. The matter of the Christian experience is not about what you do, but what he equips you to do. That's exactly what happened in my life. He did a total makeover. My life was condemned. And the Lord came and gave me a new life. Breathed new life into this person. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Paul wanted Timothy to know, and he wants us to know, that anything we attempt without consulting God in his word is destined to fail. That doesn't matter if it's your finances. You don't consult God with your finances. You're destined to fail, no matter what anybody says. Your family, you try to attempt something in building your family without God, you're going to fail. God is in the perfecting business. John the Apostle said this, "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him." At the close of the day, moms, remember these three things. The prophet. Of a consistent witness. There's nothing worse than having when your kids wag their finger in your face or tell you later, "You know what, you're a hypocrite. It hurts. It hurts." Or, "Hey, I can tell you a few things about yourself. It hurts." So be consistent in your witness. There's profit in it. And then the power of a converting word. You know, keep giving them God's word. And then finally, the promise of a competent work. You know, God's word is competent. Philippians 1:6, my life verse says, being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Mothers, as I close, let me just say Happy Mother's Day again. I hope it's been a happy one. This afternoon, you'll have an opportunity to be with your kids. I'll be with mine. But don't make it just about food. All right, food's, we're going to have food. We're the most blessed nation on the earth when it comes to food. We have more than a heart to warm. Look in the face of your little girl, Jimmy, when you see her today. When you look into her face, you better be saying to yourself, and you're saying to your wife, we need to get this in there. We gotta get her. We gotta have a consistent witness, because this has converting power. This is the confident book, confident work of God. Every one of you here today, you know, you're just getting started with her. You've got a little jump there, but you know, sometimes kids are like teenagers. Before we go, like, wow. Whoa. Yeah, don't wait. But you know what? Start where you are. Use what you have. Finish what you start. God will still bless. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. Father, thank you for the mothers here today. Thank you for the word of God. I hope this afternoon, Lord, we can say, to God be the glory, great things you have done. Perhaps there's someone here without Jesus. Maybe they've heard that term before, without Jesus. Well, if they're without Jesus, they're on the way to hell. No matter how good they think they are, Jesus didn't come to die for good people. No good people are going to heaven, only saved people. And I know we don't deserve that,